Hello, this is the July 14th, 2020 meeting of the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee. My name is James Sagerton. I'm the chair. Thank you to Fred Blair for streaming our meeting. And I believe we have quorum. Mr. Secretary, would you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
I'm here.
Dwayne Lark. Mark Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. I think she said she wouldn't be here.
Yes, Paulina, Nancy said she wouldn't.
Paulina Vasilyev.
Here.
Okay, and Teresa J. Allen, are you here?
Yes, I'm present.
Okay. Dwayne Lark, are you here? Okay, that's nine, and that's a quorum.
Very good. Excuse me. Okay, I just had a couple of quick announcements. As we all know, the draft audit has been received, and the audit committee is meeting. They're reviewing it at their meeting tonight at 8:30 p.m. That's an unusual schedule. We usually don't have our meetings at the same time, and so our interim chief financial officer, Anita Sims of Meta, will be leaving the meeting shortly, so we're going to try and get busy so that she can go, as her employees and herself will be answering questions from the committee and others about the draft audit. Also, Lydia Brazan, our interim executive director, will not be joining us tonight so that she can attend the audit committee. And the committee members can read the other announcements. And so the meeting is convened, and let us try to adopt the agenda. Would someone like to read the agenda, perhaps the secretary, or I can read it?
I'll read it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the agenda is, number one, convene the meeting. Number two, adopt the agenda. Number three, roll call. Number four, approve the minutes. Number five, the ICFO report on the May financials for 15 minutes. Number six, analysis of the financials director, analysis of financials director Corey, 5 minutes. Number seven, budget timeline, 45 minutes. Number eight, formula for central services payments, 20 minutes. Number nine, EIDL loan, 20 minutes. Number 10, new business for 5 minutes. And number 11, adjourn no later than 10:15.
Thank you. And I see, as our secretary always points out to me, you have to adopt the agenda before you take the roll call, and we should have done that. My apology. So is there any objection or addition to the agenda? Hearing none, I assume then that the agenda is adopted. And let's go right away to, are there any minutes to approve, Mr. Secretary?
Yes, there are. Yeah, the minutes of the last meeting held on June 23rd, approve the minutes of the June 23rd meeting.
And they were, is there any objection to approving the minutes?
Point of information, can you tell me when they were sent out?
They were sent out at 9 o'clock this morning Eastern Time. That would be 8 o'clock Central Time and 6 a.m. Pacific Time.
Thank you.
Any other discussion or anything else about the minutes? All right, the minutes are approved, and they can always be corrected or added to in the future if need be. Let's. Can we have someone keep time for us? Is there anybody willing to keep time?
Sure. Paulina here. I'll volunteer.
Thank you,
time
Paulina.
For, sure. Time for items?
Items? Yeah. And,
okay.
Is
and
there
the
anyone
people,
else who would like to keep, pardon me?
Sorry,
go
do
ahead,
we have
Paulina.
A time, do we have time for people as well that needs to be kept track of for committee?
Well, in general, we use 90 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and if we can get someone to do that, that would be helpful.
What
into the information.
90 seconds for this committee.
Yes. Thank you, R. Paul.
What's that, R. Paul?
When did we adopt a 90-second time limit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. If we hadn't done that, I apologize, then we haven't done it. I was going to say I don't really see the need to do that. If anyone feels the need or would like to suggest a time limit for speakers. Good. Okay. Very good. So we won't do that. I apologize. I'm used to doing that in other places. Okay. So let's go right to the ICFO's report so that she can move on to the audit committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may, I wanted to just comment. We did send out the May financials. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to review them. And I will be very brief because I know Chris also has done his analysis. And I glanced at them briefly. They do come very close as far as operating losses or gains based on the units themselves. But again, I will start. The consolidated financial report as of May reflects a loss for Pacifica of about $199,000 year-to-date versus $301,000 net income year-to-date as of last May. So we were showing a substantial decrease in income at that point in time when you compare prior year. So total revenue, again, comparing year-to-date through May 2020 is $7.6 million versus $8.7 million year-to-date May of 2019. Again, a decrease of about $1 million or 12%. Total expenses year-to-date through May of 2020 are $7.8 million versus $8.3 million. Again, and that is good because it's a decrease of $551,000 or 7% consolidated. You have two stations in the black. KPFA shows a gain for the period of $99,000. Even though you comparing it to the prior year, they were at $524,000, but my understanding that was a major gift that was given to them during that time frame, if you will. But their expenses also are about 5% down. And so anyway, they do appear that they are in the black. Also, WPFW also is showing net income of about $61,000 for the period compared to prior year loss of $39,000. We have three stations, but I do want to speak one about WBAI. As soon as we do catch up with the journal entries that will be discussed in the audit committee, I'm sure, that also changes the bottom line for WBAI. And according to, again, in rough numbers, we would show a net loss of about $133,000 instead of what our material had at the time of $341,000. Again, I realize I'm moving around a little bit, but KPFK shows a loss for the period of $360,000 compared to prior year gain of $270,000 due to about a 26% decrease in income, again, mainly because of major donor gives in FY19. So again, as I'm trying to compare, they will need to increase income or a decrease in expenses to return to a balanced budget, if you will. KPFT even though they're showing a 19% drop in expenses, 23% loss in revenue is really causing the overall loss. But they're very close to a break-even position. Be happy to answer any questions. I realize I've gone pretty fast, but I know that Chris's report is very similar, and I'm assuming that he'll have a little bit more time than I did.
Teresa for the stack.
And Felina for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
On June 23rd, at the National Finance Committee meeting, it was decided that, quote, since all stations are currently reporting at an operating loss, they are required to submit a proposal to the PND within a week, which brings their budgets into balance. Do you know of the five stations, which ones have submitted those proposals?
We've not seen any as of yet.
Can someone from the PND say if they have received these proposals?
I can speak on that. As far as I know, no station has presented a proposal. Of course, KPFA doesn't have to. I believe that the original motion was to take an average of the last 6 months to determine whether there was a gain or a loss. It could be that stations that have recently come into the black may not be if you average over 6 months. I'll have to look at that more closely. But to my knowledge, that's why I have the reminder at the top of the agenda for the treasurers to please remind their GMs of that motion or resolution, rather.
Right, and it's 2 weeks past due. It should have been done within a week from June 23rd. So thank
Correct.
You.
Did I hear? Who else was asking for the stack, please?
Well, Lena was asking Chris. For the stack.
Go ahead, Paulina. I heard Chris then, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Thank you. Go ahead, Paulina.
Mm-hmm. Anita, thank you for your report. Very briefly, I didn't hear you mention the numbers of for expenses at all of the stations. I heard you mention some stations, but not all of them. Could you repeat those, you know, just the comparisons between the prior fiscal year and the current period for all stations as far as where expenses stand, please?
Sure, be happy to. And actually, we showed the detail on the second page of the narrative, if you have that in front of you.
I do. I just wanted you to read it out for the record, please.
Sure. KPFA shows an increase of $102,000 or 5% over FY19, and I'm just speaking to expenses. KPFK shows a decrease of $89,000 or for 4%. KPFT shows a decrease of $95,000 or 19%. And WBAI shows a decrease of $96,000 or 8% over FY19. WPFW shows an increase of 6,000 over or 1%. Over prior year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A little static there. Anita, is that you? That's static?
I just picked up instead of intercom to see if that would go away.
Seems to be quieter, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
This is Sharon. Oh, can I have a point of information, please?
Sure, yes, Sharon. Go ahead.
Anita, when you said the narrative, was that the narrative that you had sent out, like, a few weeks ago? Is that right?
Yes.
Or when was it?
That's okay. Correct.
Chris?
Yes, James.
did you request the stack?
I did, yes. So I just wanted to mention that my report actually outlines the six-month period ending date of May 31st. So it covers the period that the motion requires it to cover, and so that report is for that period. So there will be some similarities to what Anita just said, and there will be some differences, too.
Very good. I'd like to ask if anybody else wants to ask any question and how we're doing on time.
Well, this is Sharon for the stack.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, so Chris, I'm looking at the email that you sent at 5:21. Okay, anyway, so, but just to say if this is correct, because some different things have been said, so you're showing three stations with an operating loss, and then you're saying that these three should produce reports for the PNB within 1 week, showing how to cut losses by the percentages shown. So is that the sort of the final conclusion after going over the six-month period of time?
James, may I answer that?
Of course, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right. So that's my conclusion, and I certainly would like to run it by the entire committee and by Anita. Anita has just this evening had the opportunity to have a look at it, so I don't believe that anybody is, and so are the rest of you, so none of you are really prepared to respond to that. But, yeah, that would be my suggestion. And I think even WBAI will be in agreement with this because it takes into consideration the adjustments that Anita mentioned to the way that the loan interest is calculated. You know, the loss I'm showing for WBAI is 11%, not the larger percentage. It would be at least twice that if the interest were included at WBAI, which I think everybody acknowledges that it shouldn't be at this juncture.
It is, Anita. I also have show the three stations at a loss. The one that I spoke to was about WBAI.
Anita, if I could just finish up then.
Sure.
Thanks, Chris and Anita. So are you in agreement with the percentages that Chris is showing in his email, if you see that?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I am.
So I think we should perhaps read those then, or maybe we should read them out loud and then discuss them. Is that okay? Should I do that?
Mrs. Harris, so you're dying deeper.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that you have 3.5 minutes for this item.
And I'm going to ask the committee if we could possibly let Anita go to the other meeting that she needs to be at, our audit committee, and continue to discuss this using Chris's analysis.
Could I have Anita's 3.5 minutes?
Of course, yeah, that would be the idea.
Thank you, Chris.
And
I will.
We can expand your time as appropriate. Oh,
thank you. Mm. I appreciate that.
Thank you. This is Teresa. I did have another question for Anita.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. Actually, it's two questions. Number one, Anita, can you tell us how much each individual station owes to NETTA at this point? I should say Central Services. Central Services.
I do not have the updated, but I will send it out tomorrow.
Okay. And the other thing is, for the committee, the Finance Committee has asked for these revised budgets. We did not receive them on time. So they are at least 2 weeks past due. So the question is, are we going to ask that our IED get with these general managers or write them up or what?
I would suggest that you would allow your ICFO to reach out to the stations first. Unless if Lydia wants to do that.
Well, I guess I'm asking the Finance Committee
okay. What
you think needs
Sorry.
To be done, Mr. Chair, because I just don't want anyone to be thumbing the, I mean, we have serious financial problems. I can understand if they submitted something and we didn't like it, but when they don't even submit anything, like they didn't even hear the requests, were all of the general managers aware that we wanted this?
I believe they are.
How was it delivered to them? I mean, was it in a staff meeting that they were asked to do that? Were they asked by the IED, or were they asked by the through the secretary of the PNB, or how were they asked to give the revised budgets?
That is a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. I know the PNB passed the motion. I presume these things, with the IED being present at the PNB meeting, I assume that she was aware of it and then would have passed that along to the general managers.
Well, may I ask the people on this committee, have any of you been those stations who were asked to provide this, have you, any of you treasurers or PNB, have you been approached by your general manager to say, I need to make these cuts, what do you think? We need to have an executive session or whatever. Have any of you been approached by your general manager to help the general manager address this? Go ahead. Yeah.
I know that tomorrow night we're having a local finance committee meeting, and the general manager has sent me a draft budget for what to do. We'll be dealing with it tomorrow night. We haven't had the meeting yet, so I'm not certain exactly how it's all going to work out.
This is Paulina. We're out of time for this agenda item.
Would anyone like to extend?
I move that we extend 2 more minutes, Teresa.
Can we let Anita go?
Do we want to ask Anita if she wants to reach out to the general managers, or do we want to deal with this in another way?
Anita, would you like to respond? I think you did before.
Yes, I would be delighted to take this over, reach out to them tomorrow, and then report back to you.
So I move that we ask Anita, is it okay that we ask Anita to do this, Mr. Chair?
I think Anita suggested earlier that the IED would probably be the person to do this. We've had some conversation with Anita about whose job it is to get aggressive with the general managers when they when things of this kind happen, when information isn't forthcoming.
Let me ask you this. Would it be okay for us to ask the chair to contact the IED tomorrow and ask whether she will do this or whether she wants to designate the IED to get a hold, the ICFO to get a hold of these general managers and ask for these reports?
I'd be happy to do that.
Mr. Chair,
we should ask if there's any objection to that or if anyone has another suggestion.
Mr. Chair,
go ahead, our Paul.
We have a motion on the floor to extend by 2 minutes, and we've just been talking over it. And are we going to approve that? And what are we doing?
I thought there was no
Thank
objection.
Thank you for that reminder. Okay, so I think we probably used our 2 minutes. Would you like to? Would anyone like to extend at this point?
I would like to move that we extend 2 minutes.
Very good.
Another 2 minutes?
Is there any objection? Yeah, another 2 minutes.
Yeah, Dwayne Lark.
Yes, Dwayne.
I don't think it's necessary. You've already agreed to do it. Let's move forward.
Okay, so that's an objection. So now we need to go to a vote.
Unless there's actual objection, because the vote will take longer than 2 minutes.
Is that an objection, Dwayne?
Of course. It's unnecessary. You've already agreed to do the work.
Okay, so now we have to have a vote. So go ahead, R. Paul, please. This is to extend for 2 minutes.
Okay. The motion is to extend the time for this item by 2 minutes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
I think that voting on this is a waste of time, and my vote is yes.
Nick Arena.
Yes.
Teresa J. Allen.
I'm very confused. I thought that if we voted yes, then we were voting to extend the time.
Oh,
if we vote no, it's not to extend, so I'm going to say no.
Fred Blair.
Yes.
Chris Corey.
Yes.
Dwayne Lark.
Think it expedite time with no, and we move on. Thank you.
Arpa Martin, no. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Anita Sims.
Excuse me.
Oh, Anita Sims?
I voted no. I'm sorry.
No. Nancy Sorden's not here. Polina Vasilyev?
No.
Okay, and so that count is 5-4, 5 against, 0 abstentions.
Or Paul, I'm going to change my vote to no.
Who's that?
That's Chris Corey.
That was Chris Corey.
Chris Corey changes his vote from yes to no, which makes it 4 in favor, 6 against, 0 abstentions. Doesn't matter either way.
Okay, so the motion failed, so time is not extended. We have to move on. I will take this to the ED and ask her how she wants to approach it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anita.
Thank you, Anita.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll go to Director Corey's analysis of the financials. This is scheduled for 5 minutes, but as we said earlier, we can expand that. Are you
okay.
Ready, Chris?
Yes, I am. So I'm just going to read the report out since those who are listening on the stream won't have it in front of them. So this is the summary findings report for the NFC of the operational results for the 6 months ending March 31st, 2020, which is the review period required for the cuts motion, which has been brought up several times already during this meeting and probably will be brought up several more times during this meeting. The consolidated operations of Pacifica were reporting a 4% loss for the 6 month period. And this is all on a revenue basis, by the way. So this 4% loss on revenues for the 6 month period ending May 31st. This loss is due entirely to the loss at KPFK as reported below. KPFA, I'm going to review each station individually now. KPFA, owing to a successful fund drive in May, KPFA is showing a 6% gain in operations. And once again, this is all for the 6 month review period ending May 31st. It should be noted that the revenue for the month of May has not been categorized, and this will need to be fixed before I recommend distributing this report. There's an attached spreadsheet that goes along with this text that I'm reading right now, which was sent to the NSC. KPFK. The situation at KPFK continues to unravel, with losses now running at 34% on revenue. In order to reach break-even, KPFK will need to cut expenses 34%, raise revenues 34%, or some combination of both. The PNB recently passed a motion to demand a 30% cut in this division, and that would put KPFK in the right ballpark. It could be done without decimating the station. The NFC is yet to see any suggested cuts for this station. To the best of my knowledge, neither has the PNB. The general manager should submit a proposal to that effect immediately. KPFT. KPFT is now showing a 19% operating loss. In order to reach break-even, KPFT would need to cut expenses 19%, raise revenues 19%, or some combination of these two. The situation at KPFT has been deteriorating, according to several persons at the station, and this is fairly easy to see from the financials. After starting the year off with a $74,000 gain, The station has reported 5 months of losses, one break-even month, and only one gainful month, February. The GM should submit a proposal to that effect within 1 week, which would be a cuts proposal, as demanded by the motion resolution. WBAI. WBAI is on the opposite trajectory from KPFP. Operations have steadily improved since the beginning of the year, with small operating losses during the review period capped by a gainful May. The operating loss during the review period was only 11%, meaning that WBAI would have to cut expenses 11%, raise revenues 11%, or some combination of both in order to break even. The GM should submit a proposal within 1 week to that. WPFW. WPFW was among three stations that had a gainful May, the other two being WBAI and KPFA. The operational results for the review period are also gainful, with the station reporting a net 3% gain. Summary. These results are a significant improvement from April, when none of the five stations had operational gains in the review period. As it stands today, two do. However, there is little comfort in the fact that Pacifica is what it should say there. I'll have to edit that. That Pacifica as a whole has deteriorated significantly, and Maybe I typed it right, and I'm just reading it wrong. However, there is little comfort in the fact that the station has deteriorated significantly at KPFK. Okay, I got it now. That the station has deteriorated, has deteriorated significantly at KPFK and appears to be deteriorating at KPFT. The NFC advises that the station managers produce suggested cuts within 1 week in accordance with PNB motion to that effect. If KPFK can get its affairs in order, the remainder of the network is currently operating gainfully. That's it.
Very good. So that was a motion I heard.
What was the motion?
What was it?
Nope. Was there a motion in that, Chris?
No, there wasn't. I was just citing that a motion had already been made that requires these stations to report. That's all.
Yes, okay. Understood. Okay, do you want to rest there and have discussion, or do you have more?
No, that's it, other than the spreadsheet, which I've also transmitted.
Okay. Any discussion?
Teresa,
let me take a stack. R. Paul, and that was Teresa. Anyone else? Well, let's go ahead. You go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. All right. I think the WBAI general manager has some slightly different figures. Probably not that far off, but slightly different. I notice he has some slightly different figures from what NETA has put out in for the May for the financials ending May 31st. Also, we probably all need to keep, maybe not in the back of our minds, but maybe sort of towards the front, that the reopenings are causing a terrible surge around the country. When New York was the epicenter of the COVID-19 for the world, I know that our sustaining memberships plunged because people couldn't work and because of the lockdown and all of this and various other things, and it had a big economic effect. Now New York is coming back, but it's surging elsewhere, and now Florida is the world epicenter. We don't have any Pacifica stations in Florida, but we do have them in Texas and California, both of which are getting hit badly right now. So I think we need to keep in mind that at least those three stations in those two states may suddenly find themselves having a hard time raising money because of people losing their jobs or just not getting paid and stuff like that. So. I just wanted to bring that up so that we're all aware of it. That's it.
Thank you, R. Paul. Teresa? Teresa?
I'm sorry, I was muted.
Can
you hear me?
Okay,
I was going to suggest to Chris and that place that he stumbled at, that instead of using the word station, I think you might want to use the word situation. The situation has changed at KPFK.
Okay, I definitely have a wording problem there, so I'll review that sentence and edit it. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate that.
I was talking to someone today who mentioned something that happened at KPFA, and you had a very, very successful drive, and I'm thinking, I guess I need to attend the development committee, but I really think that something could be tweaked in our drives that could make a significant difference in how much we raise. I don't know whether you want me to mention it here in finance, but I think that something could make a big difference if we follow the example of KPFA, and it's something that we've done at KPFT before, and it really pulls at one's heartstrings. So just a
interesting
word of encouragement. Let me say what it is. I was told that in the last pledge drive at KPFA, they were told if you give to KPFA, 10% of the money will be given to a shelter or a food bank or something else. And I think that when we don't focus so much upon, it's all about me, KPFA, KPFT, whatever it is, if we could find big donors and say, what is your cherry? You like food bank? Would you like to kind of make a challenge so that for every $90 we raise for our station, you give $10 to your charity? You can promote that charity as we do it. I know that there are some rules that you have to get permission if you promote another charity, but people respond to that very well. We did that several times at KPFT. Somebody got a grant. It was a group called the Rose, where they had $75,000, and so we said, okay, every $90 you give, $10 will be given to a pool toward giving someone a well woman exam or a breast exam or something. People went crazy for that. And actually, in this instance, because they had a grant and they had up to $75,000, so we got like nine times the $75,000. We could raise nine times the $75,000 or ten. Yeah. It just helped us raise a lot of money, and actually we didn't lose it. I don't think we lost any money, and we certainly raised a good feeling for people. So, and they went in for it. They had this grant. They went in for it because in the time when you're talking about it, we're talking about that charity. And I think the more we talk about the other nonprofits in our communities rather than just ourselves, it creates a lot of goodwill, and it opens the purse strings. Just a thought.
And time for this item has been 5 minutes back.
Dwayne to seek to be recognized.
Do we need to move to extend?
I would like to move to extend for 5 minutes to recognize Dwayne and to have some closing remarks.
Thank you, Chris. Is there any objection? Hearing none, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Paulina would like to be on the stack. Paulina would like to be on the stack as well afterwards.
Thank you, Chris. Mr. Chair, while I'm for underwriting, and what Teresa just suggested is kind of reverse underwriting, and as you know, we're going through that underwriting thing very profusely and often very emotional discussions at the PMB level. And I would also point out that I have read, thanks to one of the affiliate directors who have sent to the PMB a portion of the FCC rules and regulations regarding this so-called co-op of fundraising with other nonprofits, and it can get pretty meticulous. But I would not discount that concept, although the one she referred to, it was specifically a premium, that if an individual donated a certain amount to the station, they would get a mammogram done, which is kind of different than telling someone, if you donate, we'll give 10% of it to the Sierra Club or to the NAACP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the record keeping of it for the FCC purposes to not go beyond the threshold can become cumbersome. But on the face of it, I'm not against it. Just know the fact. And as it relates to KPFT specifically, I think that I hear a little closure in this report because, for instance, we at the KPFT Finance Committee for the last 4 or 5 months, there have been no cutters. Cut, 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 cut. And the business manager has emphatically, and the manager, the IGM has emphatically pointed out, where can you cut when the budget is bare minimum? And one of the ways I guess we're going to cut is putting more work on the remaining employees because one has relieved himself of his duties to have a better paying job. So I guess that's where 15% or more is going to come from. Now we're down to 3 employees instead of 4. But the reality for KPFT has been, KPFT has been cutting for the last 8 years consistently. And it, the only thing you could cut at this point, and we've had this back and forth at the KPFT Finance Committee, and those, again, are the cutters. Cut the phones. Just don't have any telephones. And you will find then you've got a 5% cut. Now don't replace this individual who's at almost minimum wage anyway. So I believe when you start talking about a 20% cut, a 17% cut at KPFT, you're probably going to end up cutting the lights. Thank you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Paulina?
Thank you. And Dwayne, what a stark picture of austerity and the way austerity works. I want to go back to the way austerity works against those who have to implement austerity measures. I want to go back to the spreadsheet that Mr. Chris Corby provided. I'm looking at the tab for KPFA, and we're talking about before the recent reportedly successful fund drive that KPFA had. I'm looking at for the period from October to May, or it's even before, I think it's March, of it's an increase in income of 312%, compared to fiscal year 19. And we heard from our ICFO that there was also an increase in spending, or let's say in expenses, increase in expenses of, I believe, Ms. Sims said it was 19% or something to that effect. No other station has had an increase in expenses of that magnitude. I'm wondering if anybody from KPFA could explain to us what this incredible 312% increase in revenue or in income is due to. And, you know, and what the increase in expenses was also mostly accounted, how is that accounted for? Because, you know, if we're going to uphold one station as an example to others, you know, we need to understand really how these things were done and how they're being presented. Thank you.
Okay. Well, since nobody else did the analysis, I will answer to those questions, if you don't mind, James.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Okay. So, to answer the first question, when I do an operating income analysis, I back out any extraordinary income or expenses from the calculation. In the case of KPFA, one of the things that happened in the first half of the year is that they received a large bequest. And so I backed that out from last year's calculation so that you can develop a more reasonable, I believe, comparison of year over year. I think that if we want to continue counting these extraordinary events as if they happen all the time and try and construct budgets based on them, I think it's a fool's game. I think that we will all end up in serious trouble if we do that. So an adverse event that happens, like a lawsuit or a hurricane or some other incredibly damaging and devastating event, or some incredibly positive event like a very large bequest. When those things happen, those shouldn't be considered part of the operating budgets of the stations. I'm strongly urging everyone to not do that. And so Anita, in her analysis, didn't back out the extraordinary income. I did. So that's how we came up with the figure of 312% gain, is because there was a minor increase in listener revenue. I think the thing that you're looking at, the 312%, it has to do with how KPFA is allocating the receivables, and that would be in the donations category instead of in the bequest category, and I think that deserves to be asked about. But my understanding is that the donations category is continuing donations. I mean, this requires a very detailed and forensic analysis in order to get this point figured out, but which I have not conducted yet. It would take considerable more time than I personally have, but maybe Sharon Adams is up to it. As far as I'm concerned, the figure is quite a bit lower in terms of the actual gain year over year for KPFA, but it is still significant. They had 45,000 last year and 46,000 last year and 121,000 this year for the comparable six-month period. So, there you go. There you have it.
And as far as expenses go, Chris?
Expenses are up, and that's primarily it's kind of across the board. You look at every category for KPFA, and they're all up. And, yes, you are correct. They are only one of two stations. Incidentally, both of those stations are profitable, which is strange, right? You would think that the stations that had the increase in expenses would also have an increase in losses, but that is just exactly the opposite of the case. The two stations that reported increase. What's that?
Sorry to interrupt you. Sorry to interrupt you. I'll reply after you. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. It's just it's an odd coincidence, I would say, but that may be one way of looking at it. Although there may be something in those expenses that generated more revenue too, which is worth investigating.
I'll just take this moment to comment that perhaps austerity teaches us that it takes money to make money.
Indeed.
Go ahead.
I was hoping to make a comment about WBAI, too, which I think is impressive in its own particular way. But go ahead, Paulina.
I just wanted to very briefly reply that that's exactly right. My point was that austerity, as neoliberal economics has taught us all, doesn't tend to bring any kind of good to those who have to tighten the belt, so to speak. And I think the KPFT's belt has been tightened to the point of nothing left to tighten. So I'm curious to see. Chris, do you stand by the? Then do you not stand by the numbers? The numbers that show a 312% increase in operating income for the particular period in question for KPFA? Are you saying that these figures should be seen in a different way? Maybe I haven't seen everything that you have provided, but just to clarify.
Okay. First of all, I'm not seeing where you're seeing a 312% increase in operating income. What I'm showing is a 312% increase in donations, which is line 12 of the spreadsheet under the KPFA tab.
That's correct. Thank you.
The operating income is actually line 126, and if you look at that line, what I'm showing is that the operating income for the I didn't bring down. Oops, I made another mistake there. I need to bring down the figure. They're actually showing a lower operating income this year than last year for the year over year period. I didn't do a 6-month comparison because that's not required by the motion. But last year they had $99,114 in operating income. Is that this year? Sorry. I am just all over the place tonight. Yes, I'm sorry. So here we go. If you look at line 123 on the KPFA sheet in column AB, that's the year-to-date of profit or gain for the entity, which is $99,000. And if you back out the bequests from last year, the operating gain last year was $46,000. So it's basically doubled year over year. And that would be due to a 2% increase in listener revenue. Because, like I said, the bequest money was backed out. Yeah, I think that's how it is.
Chair, I wish to extend.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is getting a little bit more confusing than I planned on, just because I did this analysis about a week ago. It looks like actually I backed the donations out because I couldn't. It looked like an extraordinary. It looked like extraordinary income to me.
I hear you. To asking to be recognized, Dwayne. I just want to make a quick note of the time. It's now 9:30. We have 45 minutes until time certain, and we still need to go over our budget timeline and also possibly our formula for central services payments. So it's just a cautionary note, and I'm sorry, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Well, I should extend for 2.5 minutes because I want to hear what Chris comments about WBAI.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, let's continue then. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So what I wanted to point out is that, our poll is correct. New York was socked. I mean, New York has been socked repeatedly by various catastrophes, including this COVID-19 thing. And one would expect, given that circumstance, that WBAI would be maybe the poorest performing station in the network. I mean, objectively, they've had the most difficult circumstances in which to operate during that period. The New York and greater New York area, like New Jersey, was very hard hit by this thing. And yet the revenues have only fallen 2%. And I think that is really impressive, honestly. In addition to that, they've cut costs during this time. Their costs are down 8%. And the net result is that, they're doing quite a bit better than they were doing last year. And I think that should be acknowledged. And I also think that it's a good message for other stations, that you can kind of paste together a successful operation despite adverse circumstances. I just think, I think BAI has done a pretty good job, especially over the last 4 or 5 months, during the most difficult portion of this period. So I just wanted to give them a shout out because I think the books say it. And so they deserve it. They deserve that shout out.
Thank you, Chris. Sure. Are we out of time now? For this
I think
item?
So.
Yes, we've been way out of time, actually.
Point of personal privilege, Chair. It'll only take about 15 seconds. Paulina, I would like to look into this a little bit more and resolve it so that in a more coherent way. I apologize for kind of stumbling over it tonight because I actually worked these numbers up over a week ago. And I'm having a little bit of difficulty remembering exactly how I factored in the donations part of the KPFA sheet. So forgive me for that, and I will get back to you personally on this issue. Okay?
Thank you. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. All right. Now we're going to move on to the budget timeline. Our secretary has provided us with a chart. Has everybody seen that? And R. Paul, while people are looking, would you like to walk us through this?
Okay. One second. It's the water there. All right. Last time we were talking about, we had a compilation of, I sent in several of the timelines, and I've been looking at it. And I think the thing we need to do to figure out how we want to have this work is we need to look at the three columns that are titled deadline, who initiates, and action. And what I've done is I have erased everything in the deadline column so that there are no dates in there yet, because we got to fill those in ourselves, and we should not feel ourselves locked in to old stuff. For who initiates, I've left that because that pretty much says who should do it. For actions, I've also mostly left that. What I've done is, for instance, now everything is labeled from, what is it, A to I here. The leftmost column is, you know, A to I. It's your index. And so the first thing for a deadline, I'm saying that we might be able to do tonight. And it's very easy to do. And the thing to be done is the CFO meets with the treasurers to outline budget development process and paperwork submission. A second thing that happens is the CFO calls for budget priorities to be discussed in various venues. Now, talking about that second part where the CFO calls for the priorities to be discussed, you know, she can just say that. She can send an email and say, hey, I call for the priorities to be discussed, and that's done. The other part of it, CFO meets with treasurers to outline budget development process and paperwork submission. This part, I think this is old-fashioned for how we work now. You know, look at that paperwork. The treasurers are not management. And so management is going to have to do with that paperwork and all of this. We are going to have to try and start working with management to outline the budget. And I don't think we need to have a big meeting with the CFO. I think the CFO can simply say, look, start working on this, and it'll start. That's my opinion. I don't think it makes it seem like there's a real joining between the CFO and the treasurers that we're going to sit around and knock this around. It's easy. It's easy to do. The second thing, item B, is local finance committees / LSBs in consultation with general managers / business managers. The action they're supposed to do is identify and rank budget priorities in order of importance, scale of 1 to 5, where 5 is high. The other thing that needs to be done is the NFC completes its recommendation on central services formula for the upcoming fiscal year. Now, for the deadline part of that, if you look at the thing I sent out, I say this ranking chore is something that I don't think is necessary. You know, we can figure out that things work. You know, how's this going to work? We don't have so much money slopping around that, you know, we might misappropriate a whole lot of it. We're all pretty, you know, close to, we're bare bones. And so I don't think we need to go through this cookie cutter stuff of scale 1 to 5 and all that. I think we need to just say, okay, we need to say that we need to start working on the budget, and the general managers and business managers, for those who have some, will just start working on this. As for the NFC, doing the central services formula, yeah, that's the thing we need to do on this committee. This committee needs at some point, yeah, somewhat soonish, we need to work on that. Now, the rest of this I have mostly left blank until you get down to the last row here. And the last row has the PNB adopting budgets for the fiscal year beginning October 1st. And what I wrote there is, given past performance, if we get that done by mid-October, it'd be great. You know, we're starting a bit late. Things are a little clunky. But on the other hand, NETA is giving us numbers, which we have not gotten well in the past. So I think we need to not obsess too much about whether we have everything done for October 1st. So I think what we need to do is decide on what the deadlines will be and probably leave the rest of this in there, for instance, generating draft station budgets and all of that. That stuff, I think, all stays pretty much the same. We just need to decide when we want to see that done. All right? So I've taken a real stand here on kind of knocking around items A and B. And after that, we need to just decide where we think it's realistic to put that. And I hope that's clear. That's what I think we should talk about.
Sharon, for the stack.